right. Thank you, praise team. Wonderful job. Thank you, Bethany, for getting the music together and singing and leading today. Appreciate that. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, who gives us a reason to sing because of what he has done for us and salvation through his work upon the cross and his resurrection from the dead. We praise God for all we have. We have a reason to sing. We have a reason to praise. We have a reason to thank God for what he has done through Jesus Christ. Without him, we have nothing. So there really is something about that name. As the Bible says, there is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, we've been talking about the spiritual battle that we're in. We'll do this a few more weeks, and then we're going to head on to something else. But the armor of God in the book of Ephesians chapter number 6. We won't get directly into the armor today. It's just another challenging message to recognize the battle that we are in. Obviously, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, closes his letter with a stirring and powerful image. A Christian soldier, imitating probably the fact that he was with a Roman soldier at this time as he was imprisoned, fully equipped, the Christian soldier, fully equipped for the spiritual battle. In this one verse that we'll look at this morning, in verse number 13, in this one verse, he issues, the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, issues a clear call. As he says in verse number 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. And we have to ask ourselves why this call is being made. And it's answered in verse number 13, as he says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand when in the evil day, an evil time, a time of evil and wickedness. We are to take on the full armor of God, that we would be able to stand in the evil day. A day in which we live, in which others have lived, a day of spiritual opposition. A day of spiritual opposition, as we're reminded of the forces of evil, the forces that seek to bring sin and decay and moral rot to the world. So we live in a time of spiritual opposition. And I mentioned last week, we live in a time where good is considered evil and evil is considered good. We live in a time where we have lost our moral compass, where mankind is drifting here and there, not knowing what is right, what is wrong, and confusing all kinds of things. And so the Apostle Paul reminds the believers in the church at Ephesus that you should put on the whole armor of God, that you would be able to stand in the evil day, a time of moral opposition, a time of moral decay, or spiritual opposition, and a time of moral decay, where it would seem that the world is losing its bearings on the truth of Scripture, of right and wrong, in a time of relentless temptation. We could go on and on about what the evil day is, but certainly we live in a time with spiritual opposition. We live in a time of moral decay and relentless temptation. This verse, verse number 13, was preceded by the challenge beginning in verse number 10, where he says, be strong in the Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, he says in verse number 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I explained to you the word wiles meant scheme or plan, that the devil has a scheme and a plan to bring you down. And the wrestling, which indicates close contact, he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, he says, in the evil day. I read a story this week of a man that was traveling on an airplane, and he looked over two seats from him, and he saw another man in his mid-50s or so with graying hair and a goatee, and he saw this man praying in his seat. Oh, he said, well, this must be another Christian, a fellow Christian. And so as he continued to see him pray, he leaned over and he said, well, what are you praying about? And he was saying, I'm also a Christian. And the man responded by saying, I'm not a Christian. He says, I'm praying right here in my seat for the fall of every Christian pastor in America. He says, I'm not praying to God, I'm praying to the devil. Spiritual opposition. Praying for the downfall of Christians and Christian leaders. In North Carolina, when I was pastoring in Virginia, every summer we would run a camp over in North Carolina that my father had started called Camp Grace. One particular year, Joanna was dealing with a girl that was from a particular difficult home and difficult life. Her parents were both addicts and things, and we would always try to get them to come to camp to help them know the Lord. This girl's name was Gretchen. She's now probably close to 30 or late 20s now. And after the invitation one night, after the evening sermon, she raised her hand and wanted to know more about Christ. And so I sent her with Joanna. Joanna took her to another room there and was counseling with her. And as Joanna is sharing the gospel with her, out of this young girl that had a soft voice, came a voice that you would make your skin crawl. All of a sudden, she began to say to Joanna, I will not accept Christ. And then went right back to her normal voice. Spiritual warfare. I grew up on the Navajo Indian Reservation. The Navajo Indians and their Navajo culture have a lot of things that they do. Spiritual warfare. You can almost feel it when you arrive there. The warfare that's going on. We live in a time with wickedness. In Virginia also, I know I tell a lot of stories, but I was there for a long time. I was the president of a drug recovery home called Recovery Through Christ. The stories I could tell you of the men that came and attended there and the influence and the bondage that they were under. I believe a lot of the drug epidemic is demonically influenced. And we would work with these men that they would be saved and that they would come out of this addiction and the stories and the things they would tell. And the director would call me late at night and say, this person left the home in the middle of the night and we couldn't control them and all these things were taking place. It was unbelievable. We are witnessing a time of spiritual opposition. I think the devil knows how the book ends, where he will be chained forever in the lake of fire. And his time will come to an end. But until that day, he is working as hard as he can to take as many with him to hell as he possibly can. And so we live in a time of spiritual opposition, of moral decay, and relentless temptation upon us and upon our young people and upon anyone young or old. This is a time where we must be vigilant. We must realize we need the power of God. We are not called to merely survive these days. That's something we have to understand as we go through Ephesians chapter number 6. We're not called to just say, well, I hope I survive. We are called to withstand them. We are called to stand, he says, in verse number of chapter number 6. He says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. It's easy to just go to the sidelines, right? It's easy to say, well, I just hope I'll just survive through these times. And I know there's opposition, I know there's temptation, and I know there's moral decay, but I'm just going to let things kind of pass me by. That's not the call to the church at Ephesus. The church at Ephesus and the church in Westcliff and Christians around the world, the Bible is saying God has provided for you the armor that is necessary to not only withstand against the temptations of the wicked one, but to stand against them, to present truth that we would not be a statistic of those that have gone away because of the temptation and the opposition that they have seen. So my challenge this morning, we're going to have 3 points quickly through verse number 13. The command, the purpose, and the victory. The command, the purpose, and the victory. Notice as he says in verse number 13, wherefore? Wherefore what? Well, wherefore? Because of the battle and the enemy you are going against. Wherefore, he says in verse number 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. Notice this. Paul doesn't say, consider putting on the armor. Church, consider putting on some armor. There may be a battle. He doesn't say that. He says, you're in a spiritual battle. There is opposition. There is moral decay. There is relentless temptation. Put on the armor. He doesn't say, well, try some of the pieces, right? Just try a few. Try put on this breastplate, maybe a helmet, maybe one sandal, right? And everything's going to be fine. He doesn't say consider putting it on. He doesn't say try some of the pieces. He says take unto you the what? The whole armor. Complete. The devil is a master at finding holes in our armor. He's the master at finding exactly where to go with those temptations. Everyone here has a different area that they fall into temptation. And we won't go into a whole list of all kinds of temptations, but you recognize what your temptation is. And the devil is a master at finding those. Some are tempted with things of the heart. Some are tempted with things of the mind. Some are tempted in the direction they may go, or the people they may be with, or whatever it may be. The devil is a master at finding kinks in our armor. So the Apostle Paul doesn't say, hey, consider this, or just try some of them. No, he says in verse number 13, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, I've always joked about this, but I know I'm only 44, but listen, things have changed a little bit since I was a kid. Safety is a little more primary than it was when I was a kid, it would seem. My brother and I, literally, this is what we did. I mean, this is not smart. Do not try this at home, and do not say I recommended this. We would go to the lake called the 40-foot lake in South Florida, and we would have BB gun battles. No eye protection, nothing. And we'd set up banks, right? And we'd hide behind those things, and we'd fire back and forth all day. Stupid. I mean, talk about insane stuff that we would do when we were kids. And we were always into all kinds of things such as that. And nowadays, you don't do stuff like that. Kids, don't get any ideas. Please do not get me in trouble for this. But I'm telling you, but you understand, you needed to protect yourself. You would hide. You would duck. You would run. You would do whatever was necessary. This was while we were living in South Florida. We lived near what we called the 40-foot lake, and there was an alligator in there. We didn't even care. It was just normal. That thing was there, and he just kind of lived around us. And one time we had our dog Yowler with us, and alligators love dogs. And so we're sitting there among the water, and that alligator comes, just flying through the water and just misses our dog Yowler. We're yanking him out of the water. I mean, crazy things. I mean, ridiculous. We didn't even care about being protected against some of these things. But I'm telling you here in verse number 13, he says, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. It's not a matter of just try some of it out. He wants you to be completely equipped, leaving no area of your life exposed to the enemy. Leaving no area of your life exposed to the enemy. I'm telling a lot of stories this morning. I loved playing basketball. Played basketball in high school. I played basketball in tournaments all, even while I was a pastor in Virginia. My friends and I would get a 3-on-3 team together and we would go play. But I would always end up playing against guys bigger than me, right? And there was this guy we used to play against, and if anybody from Virginia is listening this morning, they'll know his name was Dog. And we had to guard Dog sometimes. He was 6'6". 270 pounds, and Dog would get in the lane, right? And I'd be back behind him, and they'd be like, do something, Josh. I can't do anything. The only thing I figured out I could do is keep Dog from getting the ball. And once he got it in the lane like this, he could just turn and I'd be just swinging, and he'd just put it right in every time. Once he got position, he would score. That's what he's talking about here. Don't give the devil position in your life. Don't give him a chance to score in the lane, right? Put on the whole armor of God. Don't give place, the Bible says, to the devil. That could be anything. It could be a place in your mind. It could be a place in your thoughts. It could be a place in decisions that you're making. It could be a place, as I mentioned last week, of unforgiveness, of temptation, of all kinds of different things. And the idea is that the devil is there wanting to score on you. Don't give him position. And one way to not give him position is to be fully armored with the whole armor of God, completely equipped, leaving no area of your life exposed to the enemy. And then the Apostle Paul, we're still going to talk about verse number 13, but the command to the Christian is to take unto you the whole armor. And then he goes through the list, and we'll look at these later, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now notice as he went through that list, each piece is spiritual. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Our weapons must match the enemy's. These are things that God is doing and God is providing. And he's encouraging the Christian to take the whole armor. So we as Christians, we won't go into the armor today, we are commanded to take the whole armor of God. Don't give place. Be completely equipped in our lives. That's the command from verse number 13. And then we see number 2 from verse number 13, the purpose. Why are we wearing the whole armor of God? The purpose in verse number 13, he says this, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you or ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. Now get this. The goal of the armor is not ease or comfort necessarily, but we are called to withstand, to hold our ground in the face of spiritual attack. In the evil day. What does it mean to live in an evil day? I'm so glad you asked. I have an answer for that. What does it mean to live in an evil day? And I've already mentioned some of this a little bit. A time of temptation. A time of temptation. The devil and his lies and his temptations. We live in a time of intense temptation. Tempted in every area we may be. Whatever it may be. We live in a time, an evil day could be identified as a time of temptation. The devil is a master at temptation. He's not going to tempt me with the things that I'm not interested in. He tempts me with the things that I am interested in, right? There's things that you could tempt me with that I would say, well, I wouldn't even consider such a thing, right? There's things that you could be tempted with. You think, oh, that doesn't bother me whatsoever. But there may be other temptations the devil comes with that we would fall to quickly. You know, sometimes we don't realize that this is a temptation of the devil, one that we almost consider to be a good thing sometimes in now day and age, in this day and age. What about a temptation of pride? What about the temptation that you're always right? You ever thought about that? See, well, I am. There you go. There's your temptation, right? He got you. A temptation that you're always right. A temptation of pride. What are the deadly sins? A temptation of, as I mentioned, unforgiveness. A temptation of bitterness. You don't understand what they did to me. Well, are you bitter about it? Well, yeah, I have a right to be. We act like that sometimes as Christians. Temptations may not be, you know, some grand sin that it would make the newspaper. Temptation could be anything in our lives that is leading us away from God, that is causing a chink in our armor. There was once a young man that was called upon to preach, and he had every single thing ready to go. He couldn't wait to preach. And he got up there behind the pulpit, and he had his stack of notes, and he began to talk. and he got lost in his notes. Finally, was so confused, he just folded his paper and sat down. He couldn't take it anymore. And the pastor that he was speaking for said this to the young man. He said, "Young man, if you would have got up to preach like you got down, you would have gotten down like you got up." What in the world does that mean? Up, down? He said, "If you were to come up here without so much pride, with some humility like you had after you were embarrassed, you would have been effective in communicating the gospel." And so the Apostle Paul is reminding us as Christians, put on the whole armor of God that we would be able to stand. Our purpose is standing in time of temptation. What else does it mean to be in the evil day? A time of persecution. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but following biblical principles and the truth of God's word is not exactly popular right now. Right? The truth of God's word, where God identifies that there is one Savior and not many, where God identifies that there is a way to heaven that is through Jesus Christ and not by works, where God identifies the truth of who you are and how you were made and what your purpose is, and that God made man and woman after his image, and he gave them a purpose and a plan for their life. God, we live in a time of persecution, so he wants us to wear the armor so we stand during a time of persecution and temptation, even in the midst of hardship. And I know we live in America, and we've not even really seen what real persecution is. But I think you're seeing more and more in areas and things that are going on, and especially in recent days. So the purpose of this armor is that we would stand in the evil day during temptation, during personal persecution, and during trials. When fear and grief and despair threaten to overwhelm, the Apostle Paul says, "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day of temptation, persecution, and trials." And the number four, what else is a evil day? It's a time of moral collapse when truth is mocked and righteousness is ridiculed. When truth is mocked and righteousness is ridiculed. We live in these days. We live in these days where truth from the Word of God is mocked and ridiculed and considered strange and odd. He says, "Stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand," the evil day of temptation and persecution and trials and moral collapse. Whatever the form of evil day will come, the believer who is armed with the armor of God will stand. Will stand by the power of God. And then number three this morning, we see the command, we see the purpose in verse number 13, but we also see the victory. The victory in verse number 13, we understand that there is victory in the power of God, that we can withstand. One of the biggest things that we need to understand is there is victory. I think sometimes as Christians, we think that we're no match for the devil, and you're right, but God is. God can give victory in the evil day. God can give you victory over temptation, over persecution, over trials, and over moral collapse. He will provide the victory. The progression, take up the armor, withstand, and then stand, as he says in verse number 13, and having done all to stand. This is not necessarily just a passive stand, but the stance of someone in a battle. After the dust of the battle clears and you're still on your feet, not because of your strength, but because of God's strength in God's armor. But look at what he says at verse number 13, having done all to stand. You spend time in prayer for God's victory in your life. You believe in the power of God, that He can give you victory over these temptations and persecution. You've resisted it. James chapter 4 and verse number 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You hold fast to the truth, and through it all, you've not collapsed or retreated, but you stood with the power of God. That's the command. That's the victory that we have in Christ, having done all to stand. What a testimony we have as Christians, as others have fallen and some have compromised and the world has shifted, but yet we remain standing on the truth of God's word. There's a great attack upon truth. There's great attack upon the truth of God's word. So this morning, the Apostle Paul gives us the command, take unto you the whole armor of God. He gives you the purpose or the reason why, because this is an evil day. We need the power and the strength of God to stand, but he also tells us there is victory in Christ. We do not fight this battle hoping for victory, but from the position of victory because of who our Savior is. We can have victory over the temptations and the decay the devil has brought. In conclusion this morning, I want you to recognize, and I hope I've already helped you see this, the battle is real, but so is the victory. The battle is real, but so is the victory. Jesus is the captain of our salvation. Jesus has conquered sin, death, and hell. So we fight not for victory, but from victory because of who Jesus Christ is. And so what is our position? To put on our spiritual armor and stand strong in the power and the strength of God. So when the devil comes with his schemes and his lies and his tricks and his deceptions, we will be fully covered by his protection and not by our own. I tell you what, Christian, I've been in the ministry, I guess, close to 20 years. The devil is crafty. He will do anything he can to bring you down, to get you to walk away from God, anything he possibly can. I encourage you, remember the illustration I gave you of the basketball. Don't give him place. Because if you give him place, he'll find a way in your life to take you away from God. Let's bow our heads together. Joanne and Bethany are going to come and play a closing song for us this morning. Let's bow our heads together for just a moment as they begin to play. Let's ask God together as a church that we would respond to Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand. Stand against the evil day. Let's pray that God would work in our nation and in our lives and our churches. Let's pray that we will not fall to the lies and the temptations of the devil. Take a moment there in your seat. Talk to the Lord however you see fit, however the Holy Spirit is working in your life. Maybe you have a challenge. Maybe you have an area of your life you need to say, God, I've been tricked. I've been lied to. Forgive me. Lord, help me to follow after you. Just talk to the Lord this morning. Thank you. Amen. Love that song. Thank you so much. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We'll have our closing verse together. Don't forget, next Sunday we'll be honoring Fred and Dolores. Bring a casserole. Am I forgetting anything, Pam, about that? Casserole or salad. We're providing drinks and a cake, right? Dessert. All right. So bring a casserole or a salad. It's like a traditional potluck. Also, if you've been coming to the church and you'd like to be in the directory, come up after the service and Brianna will take a picture of you. All right. I'm signing you all for everything today. Secretary, pictures, everything. All right. We love you all. Let's say our verse together this morning. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. Pretty clear. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for providing for us victory in the midst of difficulty and evil and temptation. Help us, Lord, as Christians to take this seriously, to take unto ourselves the whole armor of God, that we would be able to withstand and stand in the evil day. Lord, we praise you for what you have done. You're not a God that has left us alone, but you have provided for us the victory. Lord, I pray that we would lean upon you and trust in you and seek you every day. May, Lord, our church be ready and fit for anything the devil throws at it through your power. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Hope you have a great day.